Warning, you have just entered The Boldcast. Aiming at creating your best self, The Boldcast is hosted by David Kelly and Haristo Penchev. Is likely for you. Live your boldest life.
What's up, guys? Dave here from The Boldcast, coming at you for the fifth episode. Hard to believe we're already at number five. I'm joined here, as always, with my co-host, Haristo Penchev. How's it going today, man?
Hey, it's going great. I'm so excited to do this again. It's been a good few days.
Yeah.
I kind of missed it, you know?
Absolutely.
It's just the fifth episode, but it feels great to be back at it.
Absolutely. And it's been, so far through the first four episodes, it's been a great outlet for me, like I was hoping, and I know you were hoping the same way.
Yeah.
And today, I think it's going to be a really, really good outlet, because we're going to talk about something that you and I love, our weaknesses. And how to look at them and, you know, how to contend with them. And one reason this topic's so interesting to me personally is because I think most people think, this is kind of funny, it's weak to understand your weaknesses and to talk about them. It's a sign of weakness to talk about weakness, right?
Yeah.
I think seeing it like that way is a flaw for a number of reasons. The first reason, right before we get into this, is because if you don't understand that you're weak at something, you're not good at it, how can you possibly improve it? You have to diagnose the problem first before you can help remedy it. So for me, I'm thinking about my weaknesses more than I'm thinking about my strengths most of the time. Because think about it, strengths are naturally coming to you. That's why they're strengths, right?
Yeah.
Or you've built them up. You know, sometimes weaknesses can become strengths, and that's happened to me a couple times. But nonetheless, why don't we dig right into it? I know we each came up with a list of three, so I don't know yours, you don't know mine, so why don't you start off and let's just dive right into this, man.
I'm very, very excited again for this episode. I want to know that, you know, maybe we'll be listing things that might not necessarily can be considered as weaknesses, but just as flaws that some people might perceive as such. And we are just discussing this topic because nowadays people are so concentrated on, you know, developing this sort of perfect ideal for the successful people they see on TV or in the outer world or whatever the case might be. And my main idea with this topic is to show everyone that is listening to us that, you know, you don't need to be perfect to achieve your goals. And as a matter of fact, your weaknesses are your characteristic traits that make you unique. You know, these are the things that can make you very successful at what you do. So you should never be hesitant to talk about them or discuss them. And, you know, everyone should be just concentrated on improving them and making them their unique power move.
Absolutely.
I guess. So just to kick things off, I'll start with my first weakness, which is something that, you know, again, it's not necessarily a weakness per se, and it's something that we kind of discussed this before, but I'll start with my anxiety and my extremely high levels of overthinking.
Okay.
I still believe that this is my biggest weakness up to date, and regardless of, you know, how many effort and energy I'm putting into improving myself and improving how I perceive the way I think in certain situations and how the circumstances are affecting my emotional condition, is still something that very much sometimes... it's just something that very much, you know, controls my mood or controls my decisions, at least to an extent. We've discussed this before, but the overthinking aspect is just terrible. It's very hard to control it in one way or another. It's still something that, you know, has quite a negative impact or my mental and even physical condition sometimes.
Right.
And I'm still wanting to openly talk about it and openly discuss it and not be, I would say, ashamed to acknowledge it as something that, you know, affects me or that is part of my character. But you know what? Talking about it and discussing it with other people truly helps.
Absolutely.
And I just want to show an example with myself that if you do it, if you're open about it, if you acknowledge it, it very much helps with the process of finding peace with it and controlling it to even to your benefit as well.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I didn't list that as one of mine, but obviously you and I are very similar in that regard because you know, overthinking, you know, as we've talked about before, sometimes weaknesses can also be strengths and strengths, weaknesses, vice versa.
Yeah.
I think overthinking is definitely one that falls right in the middle of that category because, you know, overthinking is what allows you to execute well in business or planning and things like that, you know, planning in case the worst case scenario happens or something like that. But, you know, where I feel like overthinking really kills me is not in my professional life. It's in my personal life.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, something as silly as being at a bar, right? And I see a girl looking at me, I'm looking at her, you know, then I just can't do it. Right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, you know, I would take is this sounds ridiculous to a lot of people out there, but I would take my strength in overthinking in my professional life over that. And sometimes every once in a while, if the wind's blowing the right way, I will do it. But it's like, it's like it happens as often as leap year does for me. So every 4 years or whatever that is. But, you know, I think that here's why don't we, you know, with these weaknesses, I think we should give, because a lot of people out there definitely have this problem.
Yeah.
Some solutions and some things that I found that kind of help me with what you're talking about here are meditation, just relaxing, spending a day where, and you and I talk about this a lot, where I just don't do any work, nothing, no work.
Yeah.
Once a week, you got to have that, especially if you're an entrepreneur or somebody who is not, you know, with when you work a 9-to-5 job or something like that, or a scheduled job, you have hours where you're there. But for people like you and I, we don't have hours. Like,
no.
If somebody, if a client hits me up at 11:30 p.m. or, you know, a great example of this is when you called me when we had a legal issue going on with the new band. You called me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, it's just that's the way things work. And, you know, so I know people that like, you know, I know my dad had like a quote unquote 9-to-5 job. It was more like 60 hours a week, but whatever. He still had the same stuff. You know, he had same type of stuff. So I'm not saying that it can't be the case for people that work in those jobs, but for people like you and I who are business owners and funded people, we make our money directly through the work we do.
Yeah.
That is always a problem. So
absolutely.
I think that, you know, like I said, for me, meditation's really helped a lot, and taking that day where I just disconnect from everything really helps.
Meditation definitely works. I would definitely also say trying to live as healthy as possible as well.
Yes.
Because this was a massive game changer for me. Exercise, going to bed relatively early when possible. I just won the hard way that having your proper sleep actually matters so much.
Yes.
So much.
Yes.
And the other part is, as you've said, just have a day or two where you absolutely disconnect from everything
you
do. You
gotta have at least one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least
two if
one.
You can. If you can do two, great. If you can't, it is what it is, you know. But
it's very difficult.
Another thing is disconnecting completely, like going on a vacation. Somewhere.
Yes, yes.
You know, and like, you know, real quick to touch on that point, a lot of people I know who'll say, oh, like, you go on vacation, you know, how do you afford to go on vacation? How can you, you know, it's all about priorities, right? Like, I know for me, I need that, right? I need that physically. And guess what? I've set up my life to the point where I do make my own schedule. So if I want to take 4 days to go to Punta Cana or the mountains or something, I can do that, right?
Exactly.
I'm allowed to do that. You know, I'm sorry, some people just, they didn't set their life up that way. It's not that it's their fault. I thought about this for a very long time because I saw how my dad growing up, how he was just, I mean, he was constantly stressed out and I knew I didn't want that life for myself. So, you know, it's about learning and with weaknesses in general, you're never going to completely overcome them because like overthinking is just kind of wired in you and I, right? But you can learn how to deal with them That is the important part. It's not about, I'm just going to never overthink again. If we thought that was possible, we're idiots. Like, we're very stupid people if we believe that's possible. It's not possible. But what is possible is to learn how to live with it.
Yeah, and something else I very much want to touch on is, and this was actually a big topic in my book as well. My book is out right now. You can buy it everywhere.
Go buy it.
you know, making sure that you're in position to rest is so important for everything you do. And I'm doing it often, not because I want it all the time. As a matter of fact, I absolutely despise resting. You know, I literally can't rest properly. I hate it. I want to take advantage of my time better. But I want that in order for me to be more efficient with my work, in order for me to be better at what I do, in order for me to be better representation entity for my clients, I need to rest. I just need it physically and emotionally.
You have to.
So when you're resting, especially if you're an entrepreneurial oriented individual, this is an investment in your business and work. So if you're struggling to find the motivation to rest, as Dave and I often do, just thinking from that perspective that this is something that your business needs. So
Or you'll suffer, because I've been there. Like I have seen my, I'll go through a long period of time like that, and then I'll take 2 weeks off. I remember we both kind of did that around Christmas, because we both were feeling that way and we were burnt out. See, I learned that this is only about 4 months of me doing this, but it already has made such a big improvement in my life. So overthinking, we'll hit on this again one more time. Meditation, relaxation, and vacations when possible. Vacations, so I think that was a perfect one. So let me get to one of mine here. Which one do I want to start with first? Actually, one of which we just discussed was relaxing. So we're not going to touch that. I'm very bad at doing it. I'm trying to become better at it. So let's go to my first one on this list, delegating. I am awful at doing that. So what do I mean by that? I've been like this my entire life. So even when I was in school, like elementary school, all the way through college and things like that, I had a very hard time when I was in a group and doing projects, not doing all the work. Or at least attempting to do. I mean, of course, there was a couple times where I wouldn't do that because I just didn't like the class and I was going to graduate, whatever the deal is. But I would say the overwhelming majority of the time, I was like that. And that has followed me into my professional life, okay? And one example of this would be with the band. Like with, you know, I try to my best ability to delegate things, but I'm very bad at it because I always think, well, why ask this person to do that when I can just do it myself? Not a great rule of thumb when things start getting hectic. Not a good trait. But it's a good trait when you're growing something, because you're just taking everything under your wing and you're doing it to the best of your ability. I can tell you right now, I will run into this problem whenever I have to start hiring people.
Excuse me,
for my marketing agency, because I'm kind of a control freak sometimes. Not in a bad way. I would never be critical of somebody or hard on somebody or something like that. It's just it's when it's got my name on it or my business name on it, I just have a funny way of handling it. So I'm very bad at doing that. Am I getting better at it? Honestly, I have my moments. Just being honest here.
Honestly, and I'm sorry for laughing during
the time. No, it's hilarious, discussing honestly.
That.
I find
No. Do you know why it's hilarious, though?
Because you're the same.
Yes.
I know that.
Yeah. And it's so funny because we haven't actually discussed that before.
Yeah.
But this is literally myself as well. And I'm having such big problems with that because for the time I've had my company, so it's a good 4 or 5 years, I've changed probably tens of assistants. And I'm such a big control freak about the tiniest, insignificant things. And I know that that's completely irrational. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm just losing my time. I'm losing my energy.
That's
just because
problem.
I see some sort of wording in an email that I don't like. Which doesn't make any change, but I just can't live with it being as it is.
No, I got it. I get that, man. It's, again, it's your name on it or your company's names.
Yes. And
you want to, you know, you want to uphold that brand that you're trying to build. And yes, that makes complete sense. But the one thing is that we have to realize, especially for people like you and I, the reason we're like that is oftentimes perceived as being control freaks, like we're talking about. That's not what it is. It's the fact that most entrepreneurs, this is at least what I can deduct from this, most entrepreneurs start by themselves or with a business partner or something like that. So you're doing everything. You're doing your accounting, you're doing your marketing, you're doing your research and development. I mean, the whole nine yards. You're producing the content, whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah.
Now, when you're used to doing all that, it's very hard, if you've done that for 2-3 years, to all of a sudden start delegating that out and then just being like, well, I'm not going to worry about that. And the fact of the matter is, when you hire an employee, their incentive is not as high as yours to have something do well because they're being paid regardless of what happens.
Yes.
They're not being incentivized. I mean, you know, a good company will provide, incentivized pay and things like that, but they're never going to be as committed as you. You're the owner. And it's the same thing with music, right? Like that's why, for example, in the context of management and things like that, I learned our lesson the first time with a manager back when the Parallel Height days, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. We paid a guy a monthly flat rate. What was his incentive? Yeah. None. You know? So we knew. And the thing is, like, I always kick myself about it, is I knew that, right? Like, I knew how management relationships work. Didn't work. He was not incentivized. He knew he was getting that check regardless, so we fired him because he did his job. But, you know, in the case of, like, you know, our working relationship, we have it set up in a way that it's when we benefit, you benefit. And that's always what you want to have with that kind of stuff. And if you could do that with employees, or you could do that with your team members, your bandmates, anything like that, that's always going to be a recipe for better success. So I have to get better at that, and I'm really trying to get better at it. But it's, like I said, I'm not good at it. And
it's so difficult.
Yeah.
It's just so difficult.
But a good leader and a good manager knows how to do that. So.
Yeah, and you know, I mainly got inspired to get better because I saw a quote from Gary Vee, and I know this is so basic, I know. But he was just, explaining how bad of a decision is to concentrate on micromanaging tiny tasks rather than concentrate on overall development. So just really put my mind into perspective, and I realize that I really have to work very strongly on that.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's move to my second weakness. Yeah. Okay. So this one is quite basic as well. And I'll put it quite simply. I'm very bad at losing. I'm very bad at losing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm very bad with seeing people do better than me at things that I really care about, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
So, for example, as a manager, I get this very strong urge to prove myself and show how much better I am than other people who are in the same area as well.
Interesting.
So, not in a bad way, you know? There's nothing personal involved, but I just have this strong competitive edge that always keeps me very, very motivated when it comes to things that I want to do, you know?
Yep.
And sometimes that's very hard, and I acknowledge that this is giving me... It's such a big source of energy because it gives me motivation to work even when I don't really have any specific objective, you know? I'm just constantly in a position where I want to be the best version of myself and to prove and show people that I'm better than them sometimes. And I know this sounds very douchey and whatnot.
I don't think it does. I think most people are like that, to be honest with you.
I kind of think that, to use a sport term, I have this really strong quartz gene.
I mean, here's the thing. So I have a lot to say, actually, about this for a number of reasons. The first reason is that I'm actually reading a book right now called The Social Leap, which is basically about the way that human beings evolved and like socially evolved and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting enough, the reason that we do that, it's so funny how these things always connect together. I literally just read this yesterday. The reason that we're social creatures like that is, let me take a step back. The reason that we are such an advanced species in today's world is because of exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. People were constantly comparing themselves against one another. Why? For mating purposes. So as a man, you wanted to be the best at whatever, you know, say like it was hunter-gatherer times. You want to be best hunter because you're trying to attract a female that would reproduce with you. I mean, this sounds really ridiculous, but this is the God's honest truth.
Yeah.
And what happened was you would constantly be judging yourself against other people to see how you stacked up, right? Because if you're at the bottom of the pack, you might not get a chance to reproduce. And if you're at the top of the pack, you had to basically your pick of the litter, essentially. Mm-hmm. The same is true for women. They were always, and this is still the case, right? Comparing themselves against other women. Like, one thing you always hear, I think men tend to do this more in, like, professional
or
like physical, you know, like strength, things like that, is women will compare themselves against other women's looks and things like that, right? Because they're trying to attract. This sounds so like I'm boiling this down really to like elementary stuff, but this is all underlying everything we do. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm so big on science and things like that is because it's like, oh, I'm this way because I'm wired like that. But again, with the weakness thing, like we were talking about before, if I understand that I'm wired like that, I can at least try to work to overcome that. Right.
Yeah.
One other quick point on that. There is a lot of scientific evidence showing that, and I got this from Jordan Peterson, who's like a psychologist. Yeah. Basically, he wrote a book called 12 Rules for Life that I really like. The first chapter talks about and makes comparisons. This sounds hilarious. Between lobsters and human beings, I'm going to butcher this. I think it's our central nervous system is almost exactly the same as theirs. So basically, lobsters fight against one another to reproduce, right? So the biggest lobsters will, when a lobster loses, let's put it this way, they basically will be dejected, and they will basically, you can study their serotonin levels and see that they're shot, and they will not fight anymore. They won't even try. Now, if you give them SSRIs, which are obviously what are prescribed to humans that are depressed, they work on lobsters. So lobsters will go and they will try to fight again. After taking the SSRIs, doesn't matter how many times they lose, okay? So what the point of that is that our central nervous system and theirs is almost identical. Mm-hmm. We are, and this is why I have, I could go into such depth about this, but basically, let me put it this way. When you're comparing yourself against other people, and this is what kind of woke me up to this because I was exactly like what you're explaining here. Mm-hmm. When you're comparing yourself against other people and you're feeling like you're not good enough, do you know what happens? Your serotonin levels decrease, which is why a lot of people become depressed.
Yeah.
Why do you think that depression is such a big issue right now? It's because social of what media. You're just talking about. Social media is putting a lens on somebody's life and only showing the best parts. Now, myself, I try not to do that. I just actually, right before we came on here, I just posted a video of me with an acoustic guitar in my bathroom. Okay. Why did I do that? One, because I haven't done it in a while. And two is because I want to show people my raw voice. I want people, and I want younger musicians who look up to me to understand that what you're hearing in the recording is I can do all of that. There's no doubt about that, but those are my best takes. This is me raw. Okay. So what we need to do as a culture, I think, to help the problem you're talking about here is just be more real. Just be real.
Yeah.
And you know, I caution people against, and why I tried to stop doing this myself, and you're never going to fully stop doing this, is you suffer from that, you know? It also can bring the best out of you, though, too. It drives you and motivates you, but only so to a certain extent, right? Because you don't want to make it too obsessive to the point that it's dominating your thoughts.
Oh,
you know?
No.
I'm sorry I've really gone on a lot about this topic, but it's something I really I'm very passionate.
No, it makes perfect sense, and I think you are providing lots of, you know, valuable information that I think what many people need to hear. And you know, I'm definitely aware of this because, you know, as you know already, I'm very much concentrated on understanding the essence of the human being in terms of the dynamics of the thought process within a person, how we are, how we develop, how we work, how we operate as human creatures, and so on. But again, as you've said, it's if people would spend more time on understanding why they feel in a certain way, this would help so much in general. Yeah. And you know, to just add to your point in terms of showcasing ourselves in front of more people just so we can bring awareness to the importance and the significance of showcasing our true personalities, that's the exact reason why we are doing this topic on the podcast as well.
Yeah.
You know? Exactly. Yes. I mean, we are trying to show you that regardless of the accomplishments or the achievements we showcase in our daily lives, we still, there's so many things about our personalities that need much work in order for us to get to the level we truly want to be. But yeah, I completely agree with everything. Hopefully people would understand the importance of being self-assessed.
You know, one thing that's really helped me a lot with this is, first of all, is, like I said, just becoming aware of it. And the second thing is I stop, you know, I guess one of my strengths is I'm very independent. Okay. One of my weaknesses is I'm very independent. So what I think that helps me with in this context is, like, instead of me, I don't sit there, let's just, for example, listening to our most recent album and then go listen to, like, some god metal vocalist, right?
Yeah.
And compare myself against it. I don't do that. What I do is I will sit there and listen to myself and compare myself against my previous self.
Yeah.
Now, I learned that through fitness. And I'm always going to talk about fitness on this because, my God, I mean, it has taught me so much about life. I mean, discipline, I could go on forever. But essentially is we're all, like, shaped essentially the same, but we all have different genetics and things like that. And no matter what you do, what you take, what you eat, you're going to... You have to work within the body that you're born with. So for me to compare myself against, you know, Mr. Olympia or something like that is ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. But for me to compare myself against a progress picture from last year is completely reasonable, right?
Yeah.
And if I compare myself against that person, I'm going to always feel bad about myself, right? I'm going to always feel bad about myself. But if I compare myself against where I was previously, then I should always feel good about myself if I'm working and putting the effort to move forward. And it's a delicate balance because you don't want to fool yourself into thinking you're amazing at what you're doing and all these accomplishments are great. But you also don't want to make yourself feel too bad that you just give up and quit. And it's a delicate balance. And all this stuff is very nuanced. There's no easy solution to a lot of these things.
It is. And, you know, a line that I'm very proud of writing, again, in my book. I know I might be obnoxious, but, you know.
No. I mean, there's a reason you wrote it.
Yeah. But I find that I'm very proud of, and hopefully no one else has done it before. it's find confidence in your strengths rather than other people's weaknesses, which I think perfectly refers to what you've said. I think it's very important to make sure that you're projecting the ambition for development and progress on yourself rather than comparing yourself to others. And which I think is such a big problem nowadays, and especially in the music industry that we are part of, because this is something that I've been told by so many high-level professionals, that one of the biggest mistakes that young professionals do nowadays is that, for example, if you're in a band, you scroll through your Facebook or social media and you see, you know, so many bands out there generating better numbers than you or getting better festival scores than yourself or whatever the case might be. And again, as you said, they feel down. And this can have such a massive negative impact on yourself. So what I'm trying to say is, it's definitely very beneficial to feel this instinctive urge for development. But the key thing is how you use it, because if you're using it correctly, it will be to your benefit. But if you are not able to do it properly, you'll just massively damage every aspect of your life, I'd say.
Yeah, and that's how most of this stuff works. Like, you know, it's weird because, you know, with that kind of thing, like I said, you go too far in either direction, it's probably not great. And not everything's like that, though. Like, you know.
Yeah.
But this is definitely one of those things. Like, there is, to just think that I or you could ever just flip that switch off and not compare myself against anybody again is ridiculous.
Yeah. Right?
And one thing I always talk to people about, and this actually happens to me at the gym a lot, okay? Mm-hmm. So most of the, a couple of the gyms I go to, a couple gyms, which is, go ahead and laugh right now. One of the gyms I go to, I'm usually one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in the gym at any given time, okay? Mm-hmm. And so to everybody in there, I'm big, I'm strong, this and that, and I feel great. Now, I'll tell you right now, that's how you know biology and sociology is a real thing. I feel great when I'm like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I can remember about 2 years ago, I went to Gold's Gym, which is legendary in Venice, California. Okay, I was out in LA, and I got humbled very quickly in there. Okay, very quick, and like I was a lot smaller than I am now, but I still, if I walked in there, I mean, there's literally pros in there. These people are paid to do this for the living, for their living, right? And so what? Am I supposed to compare myself against this guy who's 45 years old, who's been paid since he was 25? All he's ever had to worry about since then is eating his meals, going to the gym, taking his supplements and stuff like that. So like, if I start feeling bad about myself in that context, that's a little bit foolish. That guy and I are just not in the same ballpark, right? Mm-hmm. But you're not going to feel like that in the moment. Like, I didn't feel like that when I was in there. I'm like, shit, I started doing stupid shit where I would be lifting weights where I just couldn't handle and things like that. And I don't normally do that. So it just shows you how strong that biology and all these underlying things in us are. But, you know, that's one distinct moment where I could think back to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody who's listening to this probably had an experience where, this is actually a very, very good point. When you'd be younger, okay, and you had a crush on a girl, and let's say she was at your, I'm just going to make something up, your basketball game. You start trying to show off and do stuff that's uncharacteristic, and why? Just, there's probably, let's say there's 100 people in that gym. You don't give a shit what anybody else thinks. All you cared about was what she thought, right?
Yeah.
And the same is true, maybe if you're, I don't know because I'm not a girl, but maybe if you're a girl with a guy, I don't know how that works. But the point being that, even at a young age, we were doing stuff like that because that's just how we're wired. We want to showcase that. Now, as you get older, you kind of realize, like, girls kind of look at you doing that and like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That's so stupid. Like, you look like an idiot when you do that.
You're so ridiculous,
So, again, it's a delicate balance. And the thing I love about these kind of things is you never have, even if you're good at something, you're never going to, it doesn't just stop there. It always is ongoing because life is constantly ongoing. As much as you can, you try to soak up as much different resources and reading and podcasts and things like that. You can get better at things, but you got to put the effort in, you know? So great point to bring up because that's something I'm huge on for sure.
Yeah. It's such a great topic, yeah. Time for your second weakness.
Oh, man, I can't shut up, so I'm already going again. All right. So this is actually, we just talked about Gary Vee. This is something he stresses a lot. However, I see this as a weakness to a certain extent. So I'm very, let's start with this. I'm very good at patience in the macro. And what I mean by that is, I'm totally fine with putting 10 years into something and watching it grow. I can understand that. I can embrace that, and that's fine. But what I'm very bad at is patience in the micro. Okay.
Yeah.
So Gary Vee always talks about micro speed, macro patience, or whatever it is. So I'm butchering that, I'm sure. But sometimes it is a problem, and I'll give you a perfect example of this. You and I, before we came on here, were talking about a special opportunity that my band might get.
Yes.
And I'm like, dude, like get, you know, talk to him about it. Talk to him about it, you know. I said it like four times, right? And you're like, you're in your head, you're like, dude, fuck you. I get it. I know what you want me to do. You do this to me all the time. That is something that I have to get better at. I have to get better at that. Because, or even just with my bandmates. Hey, what do you guys think of this album art? What do you think of this blah, blah, blah? Maybe they'll see it in the group message. They don't respond right away. And I'm like, come on. What do you think of it? You know, and the same thing happens with marketing clients and friends. I have to, I am very, very bad at that. But it's funny because that's probably why I've been able to have even just the minute levels of success that I have. Because I'm never waiting and I'm not good at that. So it's always like I'm always pressing. And
yeah,
my uncle is a very successful entrepreneur. He is about the worst at this that I've ever seen. So what that tells me is that I think a lot of entrepreneurs are like this. A lot of entrepreneurial people, because again, it's that goes back to the same thing you were talking about. Like when we talk about delegating, it's just like, I want to get this done like 10 minutes ago. So do it now, you know, but you have to watch how you're saying that to people. Communication's big, right? What I've found that really helps me with that is just trying to tone down my communication with it. Not being aggressive towards people, because everybody can handle those things in different ways. You know, I know you can handle, you know, we can throw it back and forth and there's no problem.
Yeah.
A lot of people are not like that. And when you come across like that to other people, it's kind of like you seem aggressive, you know, really what you're being is assertive, but people will take it as me being aggressive. And I'm trying to improve upon that.
True. This is another aspect that I can very much relate to as well. And
go figure.
You know, the thing with me is that it's not transferring only to my professional activity, but to my personal life as well. For example, you know, when I'm being mocked so much by my friends for being this sort of a character.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I have an arrangement with a friend or whatever, I need to make sure that everything is scheduled and is going according with the plan immediately. You know, if I need a response, I need it right away. I can't wait, you know? And I don't know what's the reason for that, but I completely relate with everything, you know? And just recently, I realized again that, as you've said, you have to be very careful how you're expressing yourself when it comes to stuff like that. Because, for example, when it comes to communication between you and I, we just understand how we think and we don't perceive this in a personal way as some other people might do. But for some people, this is quite rude sometimes, even if it's, for me, clearly it's not. You know, I'm never putting this sort of intentions whenever I'm expressing my thoughts regarding that matter and regarding matter of this nature.
Yeah.
But it's a learning curve. It's a learning curve.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that when it comes down to it, all of these things are like, if a psychologist was watching this, they're probably like, yeah, these kind of all make sense for both of you. That's how you're wired, right?
Yeah,
it's just all these kind of interrelate to each other. So I'm trying to get better at them. And I will tell people that. It's like, listen, I'm not trying to come across. I'll have that happen, right? With my BMAs or something like that. When I realize it, I'll be like, hey, guys, I'm really sorry. I'm not trying to be like that. You know, and then a lot of times I'll be like, what do you mean? Like, what were you doing? It's like, what is that? That's overthinking, right?
Exactly.
But here's the thing. Sometimes I know they're just probably trying to be nice about it, but it's how it is. It is what it is, right?
It is what it is, yeah.
So I think you have a third left, right?
It's very funny because my third weakness is perfectly tying with the last weaknesses we've discussed. It's so thematically connected that I just can't miss it. again, it's something that we've discussed, but it's about goals. So obviously, you know, again, we've covered this topic slightly before, but I'm never the person to go in a club or to go out and to get to get interaction with a girl right away. Just, I'm not the sort of a person to boost this sort of instinctive chemistry with a girl, you know? Especially when it comes to night outs and clubs and whatnot. I'm just not that person. But the thing is that with the time, I've realized that this sort of approach makes me more compatible with the type of women that I'm very much interested in. And it showed me that...
You are speaking my language right now.
Yeah. Exactly. I knew it. But it just showed me that this specific characteristic trait of my personality is enabling me to attract and be able to connect with the women that are very much similar to my character and to the ones that I can very much connect with, you know? So with the time, I understood that this is more of a strength, but for many people is a weakness, you know? I'm just not the type of a person to attract or be attracted to similar type of women. But gladly, I have the characteristic features to be able to connect with the women that I very much like and enjoy in terms of mental connection, you know? Because I'm just... in general, for me, the emotional connection in a relationship in general or with an interaction with a woman is very, very important. You know, I need to be able to talk with a woman to just to be able to discuss and be able to connect on this level before anything else. But for the sake of the argument, that's my weakness. You know, I'm not the sort of a person to go in a club and to instantly be in touch with the best looking girl or whatever the case might be. But again, this is more of a weakness with a very big upside, I guess.
So, wow, a lot there. Let's, again, I'm always big on this science stuff. So there's a lot going on there. And this happens. Mm-hmm. First, let me state, I have something interesting to contribute to this that's happened to me in the last couple of weeks since we last talked about this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Second of all, again, that's why this podcast is cool, right? Because hopefully what we hope happen is in 3 years, we can go back and talk about our weaknesses and be like, I'm great at that now. Right.
Yeah.
Like, so this episode, hopefully we can reflect back on that. Anyway, there's a lot going on there. First of all, I'm not going to try to get too scientific, but you have a lot fighting. Any human being has a lot fighting in them, especially as a man, again, going on there. Now, your DNA, right? Basically, when you're going into the club, and this is why you, if you're like me, you get really pissed off at yourself when you don't, when you see, this happens to me all the time. This girl's looking at me, I look back at her, she looks at me, look back at her. She's and, like basically inviting me to walk up.
Yeah.
I don't do it. Okay. I have a funny story about that in a second. But the reason you're getting pissed at yourself is your DNA, all it cares about, all your DNA cares about is surviving and reproducing as
basic
much as possible.
Instinct, yeah.
I believe Genghis Khan, if you're familiar with him, is something astronomical. It's like 20% of the world's population is a direct descendant from him.
Yeah.
That is like the ultimate goal of any DNA, right?
Yes.
Our, you could think about it like this. We, in a sense, I'll tell you what, guided meditations have really helped me with this kind of stuff. And in reading, like I said, I'm a nerd with this stuff. It is what it is. We are basically along for the ride with our DNA. Our DNA is trying to survive, pass itself along, pass our genes along into our into our kids and things like that. We are no different than any other animal.
Any
when it comes
animal.
To that.
Yeah.
Okay. So first thing, the reason that you get upset about it is because while that's going on, you know how you value the right kind of person. Because it's not just a sexual thing. It's not that.
Yeah.
But at first glance, it is. That's what it is. There's that's that pure, raw human element to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what your belief systems are or anything like that. That is absolutely the case. That is what every underlying every person is that. And if you don't believe that, you're a fool and you will become victim to it. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's going on. Then you as a person, you know what you value. You know that girl in the club is likely probably not the right person. Why?
Yeah.
She's at a club.
Yeah, exactly.
This is funny to think about, right? Because because you're at the club too, but you and I don't frequently do this stuff.
No.
Chances are if she's looking at you a certain way and stuff like that, she's probably doing that to 40, 50 other guys the same night, every weekend. What's her deal, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not a weakness, but it makes life hell sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah. I definitely don't perceive it, again, as a weakness, but I know it's being perceived as a weakness by so many people out there.
Yes.
You know? Yes. And it was the case for me as well when I was younger. But again, with the time, you just realize that this is, as you say, it's part of your nature. Yeah. So sometimes you experience the instinctive urge that you're just programmed with. So there's no way out of that. Yes. But again, to what we've been discussing before, it's important to acknowledge that, to acknowledge the nature of your feelings, to acknowledge what they're based on, because this just helps you to feel better and to live life better as well. So, you know, again, I'm giving this example and I'm showcasing this weakness just because I know there's so many people out there, especially men, who are suffering from that. Because, you know, when they go in a club or out with their friends, and if they are not able to go home with a girl or whatever, they kind of feel like their social value is being burned to the ground.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of feel like that they're not worthy enough to be in a social clique, that they're less than their friends or whatever the case might be. But this is not like that. And I just want to give this example again to show people that you don't need to torture yourself about stuff like that, because it doesn't matter at all. And again, the thing that you're not attracting girls in a club or whatever doesn't mean that you're not capable of attracting women. Not at all. It just means that your type is not, you can't be found in a club or this sort of circumstance.
You might be, and so, you might not even know it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, it's funny because my friends give me so much shit for this. Like,
yeah,
because like, you know. First of all, I just want to make it very clear to everybody listening to this. We're always going to be very transparent and real on this podcast.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Okay. Always. I don't care who knows about my weaknesses or whatever. I will tell anybody. I don't care.
Yeah.
My friends give me a ton of shit because, and I think I've said this before, I'm 6'3", I'm 200, and right now I'm about 260, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe 15% body fat. Mm-hmm. If I can't approach a girl, who the hell can? I mean, this sounds really toolbaggy, but seriously, think about
it. Yeah, it's like that. It's like that.
And every girl that I ever end up talking to always thinks, actually, I have a good story about this right now, that I lied to them when I'm like, oh, no, I've only been with, let's just pick a number, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that on here. they're like, there's no way. I'm like, no, I'm not lying to you. This is who I am. This is how I am. And they can't understand it.
Yeah.
Perfect point. In about the last 2 weeks, I started talking to somebody and hanging out with her. And what I can't figure out is because I had like 3 or 4 girls trying to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I choose to hang out with this girl? I had to think about this for a minute. It's because I think I'm the same way as you. I felt the best like connection, even just over texting and Snapchatting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think she, first of all, she very much was interested in listening to what I do.
Yes.
About what I do.
Yes.
And I was very interested in what she does. We do very different things. She doesn't even understand what marketing is. Okay. She is a lot different than me. Now, why did I hang out with her? And she even said, she's like, I don't understand why you chose to hang out with me instead of all, you know, I assume, she's like, I assume because you're in a band and you lift and you must have a pick of litter kind of thing. I was like, well, that's not necessarily true because girls don't, they're not as like aggressive a lot of times as guys are, you know?
Yeah.
So a lot of girls that are attractive, I mean, guys just throw themselves at them, right? A lot of my friends do that. But, you know, I explained that to her. And the problem is they usually think I'm lying. And I'm not. I'm not lying. Like that's how I am. And I actually think a lot of the reason that I'm so into lifting and music and stuff like that is because I'm like that. That was my outlet, right? Again, not trying to get too scientific, but there is very good research showing that people that like you and I are very driven in other aspects of life because we fail epically sometimes in this book.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. So,
again, guys, it's not... This is a... Everything we're talking about is so nuanced. Like, and everything in life is. There's nothing in life that's like... Well, you're like that. Here's a classic one. Oh, you just gotta not be... This is my friends. You just gotta not be a bitch, dude. Just don't be a pussy about it. Don't be a bitch, you know? No, you don't get it, okay? And I have a feeling for you, and for this is definitely the case for me. One of the reasons you're probably like that, and a lot of people listening to this, is because you overthink.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Most certainly. Most certainly. And it's very funny, you know, because in the last 2 weeks, I also started talking more intensely with a girl as well.
Unbelievable.
That it's getting crazy. You know, my thoughts are exactly the same. And often my friends can't understand that as well, because I'm usually in a friend circle when I'm being surrounded by beautiful women all the time.
Right.
You know, I'm just in just sort of social clique, I get. You know, oh, this sounds so pretentious.
But it's
just like that. It's just like that. Yeah. And my friends are, you know, communicating with me with the exact same way. They're like, oh, you're just bitching out. You don't have the balls to approach women or whatever.
Exactly.
And I'm like, it's not like that. You don't get it, because I'm always like, I'm just not interested in them, and my friends would be drooling over some girls, and I'll be like, I'm not interested in them. I can't be bothered with that right now.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're just bitching out, finding excuses or whatever the case might be. And I'm like, you don't understand it. I'm just not interested in what you are interested in. And that's completely fine. You know, that's perfectly fine. But the thing is that in certain social moments, in certain gatherings, and when there's so many people involved and so on, it's very hard for me to find a person to connect with. In general, it's very difficult for me to find someone that I can genuinely talk to the way I talk to you, the way I talk to a few other people in my life as well.
Yeah.
And again, you know, some people, again, find this very pretentious, very cocky or whatever, just because they're these sort of situations where I'm surrounded by people and I'm not talking too much, or I'm not spending too much time, communicating with people or whatever. Yep. But this is not because I don't want to, whatever, but I'm just struggling sometimes to find people to connect to find people that I can genuinely, you know, spend good time talking with. And that's perfectly fine, right? And for me, it's such a rarity to find a girl or woman that can provide me with just sort of emotional comfort. And that's why I value this so much.
Yeah.
Not just in women, but in people in general.
Yeah, that's why I was just gonna say.
the most important aspect for me, you know, to find someone that I can understand my way of thinking, because sometimes it's quite odd, let's be fair.
Same.
And when you do that, you just, you know, the communication is so easy. You start connecting, you start sharing. And, you know, that's so important for me. As you've said, it's very important to find a person that is ready to listen, that is ready to understand, that is interested in talking in depth about variety of topics, just because this is something that I rarely find. So this is what I really value. So yeah.
Oh man, this is such a good topic. I mean, we probably could have made an entire episode of this.
We probably will
at some point, I'm sure. Yeah, but you know, here's the thing that's interesting is that, you know, I think, again, these things are like universal in our own lives, because as you said, I am the same way with like friendships, even or like business partnerships. Like, I immediately knew, this sounds so funny. Like it sounds so like a bromance thing, but whatever. I don't even care.
Hey, it is.
When we had our first conversation, when you wanted to manage us, right?
Yeah.
I knew immediately, or like almost right after that, I'm like, you and I are wired the same way, which is why I was willing to take that investment on our part and work with you. Because I saw that, and I get very good at seeing that in people. I've gotten very good at seeing that in people, right? Almost immediately I could tell. Now, the same is true in the opposite. I can almost immediately tell if, like, you know, someone, like, girl-wise, guy-wise, it doesn't matter. Like I said, business relationships, intimate relationships, friendships, doesn't matter. I can almost tell right away if we're going to blend well or not.
Yes.
Of course, now, there's sometimes where you're rushing the judgments and things like that. But I have a very good example of this. I used to work in retail before I was able to, you know, I had retail part-time jobs. I think I've talked about this before. I worked with a lot of girls, okay? One girl in particular who I'm still very good friends with. I don't know how we were still friends. We had a thing for a little bit. But she and I could not be more different. Now, sometimes that's fine. Like, the girl that I'm talking about right now that I just started talking to, we're very different, but not in this context, what I'm about to tell you.
Yeah.
The things she thought about and spent time worrying about, completely different. Completely different than me. And I knew, I'm like, just the thought, like, the headspace, completely different. Now, there is nothing to say with the way that she thought is wrong and I'm right, or I'm wrong and she's right. It's just two different people, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's going to happen. And the thing is, and I find this with people, a lot of people that are not self-confident and are not sure of themselves, they just latch on to anybody they can get, because it gives them emotional support that they need, like you're talking about. But a lot of the times, it's not the healthiest thing. It's not good to latch on to anybody, whether it's in business or friends or relationships. It's just not good to do that. You will suffer worse consequences from doing that than you will ever reap in benefits.
Yeah,
period. That's just no doubt about that. But yeah, man, this is something I've spent a long time thinking about.
Oh yeah, it's such a good point, because as you said, I think that's the major difference between people in general. Because, and we kind of covered this before, but they're just sort of people who are getting into relationships because they're trying to get what they need in their lives from the people that they're in relationship with, obviously.
Yeah. Yep.
Rather than, you know, for people like us, we kind of get the thrill of being connected with someone from the process of mutually supporting each other, right? In terms of participating in this process of exactly of emotionally connecting yourself with another person and actually receiving the satisfaction of having a role in this person's life as well.
Yeah,
if this makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know what? That's why I think it is absolute bullshit when people say you shouldn't do a business with your friends. Total bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what? I couldn't agree with that any less. You and I are great friends. We have two business relationships together. This.
Yeah.
And actually, we've had three because we were doing some marketing stuff together.
And I'm pretty sure we'll do it again. So
yeah. Yeah. We had that going on. And then you're managed by... you know what? Usually why that stuff doesn't work is because communication is bad. Okay?
Yeah.
My first client, marketing client, was the best man in his wedding, right? Mm-hmm. So, and we do great because we just have open communication. And at the start of that, it wasn't good. But we just said, hey, we just got to have better communication here. And it worked great. Yeah. And it's same thing with my bandmates. I'm friends with all of them. And that notion, and my business partner with the business I failed with is one of my very good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still good friends, even though the failure and all the bullshit we dealt with, and sometimes we did get upset at each other, but at the end of the day, we always resolved it. And that's because it's communication, right? And that same thing, think about this. People always say you should never date your friends. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
But I disagree
anymore.
I think there's difference in the opinions. I think there's a difference in the opinions on this topic because people choose their friends on different criteria.
Yes.
For example, working with your friend, in our case, works well because how we are basing our decision to be friends with someone.
Yes.
We are friends with each other because we think the same. We can talk well. You know, we share so many similarities between each other.
Yes.
And we base our decision to be friends on this aspect. But yeah. at the same time, you know that there's so many people out there that choose to be friends with other people just because, for example, they have a lot of fun when they're drinking together or because they going to certain sort of events together. And obviously when... You know, when your friendship is based on this sort of dynamics,
yeah.
obviously this is not a very good base to work together on or whatever the case might be. So it very much depends what you need and what you are looking for when it comes to connecting with a certain individual, I guess, what I'm trying to say is.
Yeah. And, you know, I really just, I strongly believe in the fact that you know, trust is a huge thing. So,
yeah.
you know, in any of these things we're talking about, friendships, being business partners with friends or, you know, being in bands with friends or whatever it is, like, you're friends with them likely because you can trust them. So
yes.
you already have that built. Like, this is why I think that people are just very, very confused about a lot of stuff a lot of times. And there's just, like, talking points that people just say because they've heard them before. You know what I mean? Stuff like mm-hmm. that. That's the thing. Like, you and I, when we hear... When you're like, yeah, I heard this from Gary Vee. You're not yeah. just like, oh, I heard this, and I'm just going to repeat it. You've heard it. You've thought about it. You digested it. And then you're mm-hmm. talking about it. And you've put your own little view of it on there, yeah. right? Just like he mm-hmm. probably got that idea from somebody else, and he kind of spins it his own. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. like... Why would you ever think, like, in an intimate relationship with somebody, one of the biggest parts of it is having a friendship with them. So if you've already yes. built that, why would that be a bad thing? Like, if you're coming in on the ground floor and you guys are just physically attracted to each other, then you have to build that outside yeah. of that. And you might not ever be able to be honest with you. I've had it both ways, though. I've had it where I was... friends with somebody and dated them, and that was my longest relationship, and we're still friends. I mean, we still mm-hmm. are, like, I'm not like talking to them constantly, but we still are able to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had it where it was not like that.
Oh,
and
Jesus, yeah.
not a great end. So
yeah, I've had similar experience to that as well. And you know, when we are talking about the former experience in terms of being in a relationship with a friend or someone that you knew well or whatever the case might be, things are just so organic and just so genuine and natural and makes everything so much easier, you know, yeah. at least for me. You know, the development of the whole relationship just has such a good and natural flow. And when we're discussing the second option, which I've experienced as well, it's just not yeah. working. You know, it's totally unnatural. It's just totally not working well. And it's like it gives you a sign that things shouldn't be developed this way. Or at least for me, you know, because I don't know. It's so strange for me to develop a physical relationship with someone and try to develop an emotional one afterwards, because I don't know, you've probably experienced this as well, but it's so yes. awkward. It's just so
yeah.
awkward.
You know, how do I phrase this? I've had it equally both ways, I would say. And sometimes yeah. it's actually both at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
So I would say that, you know, every situation is different. Like, you know, the like, and the thing is, I can't sit here and be like, this is the liturgy of the word on this thing because you have to do it like this. And but and again, it's nuance. It's not like that. My mm-hmm. business relationship with you is mm-hmm. vastly different than my business relationship with
yes
anybody else. And my relationship with them is different than my relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's because you have two different personalities that are, you know, we're all yes. individual, unique creatures. We have similarities between us. But at the same time, when you bring those together, you're basically creating, like, one mold of that. And that's never going to be exactly the same in any
exactly.
department, right? That's just
yeah.
the way it is.
And it's very funny you've mentioned it because obviously, we've discussed earlier that we both have problems with allocating work to other people and trusting other people to do work that is directly representing us as individuals and professionals. But do you know what is really funny? That we don't have this problem when it comes to just podcasts and when it comes to working together, right?
Yep.
Because we trust ourselves.
Yes.
We know.
And each other.
We trust ourselves in each other. And we know what the other one is very much capable of. So we don't have this sort of problem, right?
No,
which I find very, very interesting and very, very, you know, indicative of the nature of the problem that we're experiencing when it comes to allocating work to other people in general. So it's pretty much trust. Means that we have certain standards towards the people that we want to be in touch with.
Bottom line with all of this stuff we're talking about with like delegating work or, you know, relationships, whatever it is, it's because you have standards for you've set standards for yourself and you, and there's expectations. You at least hope that those are met, let alone you want them to be exceeded probably like any human being. And if you're somebody who's not like us, who has no expectations for their lives, well then you're going to take anything that comes to you. And that's true of a job. That's true of a significant other, friends. And that's how your life becomes a fucking mess, right? Like, because if you just accept everything, you don't, your environment is controlling you. You are not in controlling your environment. I mean, none of us can do it entirely, but we do it to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not, it's just not that simple. It's not that easy. And these things take years. Like, even if, you know, I know there's probably some younger kids listening to this, both male and female. And I can tell you right now, guys, that if you're like 18, 17 years old, it doesn't matter what the hell I'm saying to you, because you are going to have to live through this shit yourselves to really learn it. The thing is, what I hope is when these, what I hope with this podcast in general, and the same thing with music, when these things arise and these problems come up, and I just want you to notice them more and become aware of them so that you can better combat them and not make the mistakes that I've made, or, you know, in the case of Haristo, same thing, same thing, mistakes that Haristo's made. That's why we're making this. We're making this because we want to help people. You and I always deliver on things because that's our nature. You know, that's how we do things. We're willing to, we just want to help people. We want to make the world a better place.
Yeah.
That's why we have a podcast. I've never, in anything I've ever done, I've never been like, oh, I want to be famous. No. And you know how you become famous? By helping people and making a difference in their lives.
Yeah, exactly.
Baking people. And that's the thing. People are like, well, who's going to care about, I have a friend who I was supposed to start a podcast with before. And he's like, well, who's going to care about what we're talking about? I said, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. If you make good content and you produce something well, case in point with our new rebrand.
Yeah.
Make people care about it. You have to make people give a shit.
Yeah.
And that's what marketing is. That's why I love marketing.
Yeah.
Because you have to, you're making people care, right? Because you're giving them value in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, I guess my point being that, like, you know, you can't wait for perfect opportunities. You can't wait for all this stuff. You can't, like, expect to listen to this podcast or read a book and just all of a sudden change your life. You have to take the knowledge that you've learned and apply it right away. Like, why I was talking about the book at the beginning of this, that when you were talking about comparing yourself to other people, is because there's science proving when you learn something and you talk about it and you put it directly into action in your life, you understand it more. So now it's going to stick with me more, right?
Yeah.
So it's always
that's why it's
process.
So helpful for us to do this podcast as well. And that's why we care about the podcast, because we are not doing it so lots of people would listen to us. We are doing it because we actually need it as well. And we actually enjoy it. And it doesn't matter for us how many people are listening to us. It matters that it actually helps us. So,
and you know, if there's 10 people listening and one of those people's lives change,
it's all great. Off.
And then if that result could be magnified over time and it's like, you know, hundreds or thousands of people, great.
Yeah.
Great. You know, that's my currency in life. Like, that is what I am here for. I've determined that. So in any way that I can, I'm always going to try to do that and as best I can. Not saying that I'm like some expert or smarter than other people or better. That's not what I, and a lot of times the wrong people think that, right? The wrong people will think, oh, this guy, he's starting a podcast. What does he know?
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
You could start a and then it's like the, for that person, man, there's stuff that you know. You could do it too. You just, you don't value yourself enough. You're not self-confident enough. You're not, you haven't thought about these things enough. I have. Yeah. And there's no like, what gives you the right? Who gave me the right to become a vocalist? I sucked when I was a vocalist when I started. It's the way things work. Yes.
Yeah.
It's how things work.
Exactly.
So,
I
become
think it's
better
time for
at
you.
Your weaknesses.
Yes, but I think it's time to hit your two other weaknesses.
Oh my gosh! So we already went to the third one, but I'm actually going to bring up one that I thought as we were doing this because I have not shut up for most of this podcast. Listening is something I am very bad at sometimes. Case in point, go rewatch the entire podcast. So it's because I'm always my mind's so active that I'm like, thinking of things as you're talking or when I'm talking to anybody, and I'm just trying my best not to say them. So my dad's family, this is hilarious, and you, if you have a big family, you probably have seen this too, or anybody that's listening. My aunts on that side of the family are so, like, I love everyone, and they're so loud, and they just talk over each other. Nobody's listening. When I'm sitting there, my aunt will, or my grandma will be like, so... God love her. She's 91, 92 years old. She will ask me, so how's your band doing? And I'll be like, well, Grandma, we just put out a new song. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, whoa, what happened here? That is something that is very off-putting. So you'll hear me during this podcast a lot. I'll say, yep, yep. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because I'm trying to stop myself from talking, right? I'm bad at it. I'm bad at it. Sometimes I'm really good at it. I've gotten a lot better at it, but my God, sometimes I'm really bad at it. It's just because my mind's always running, and I have to learn how to, that's fine, but shut up and listen to the other person. So something I will do, how am I trying to work with this? Let's actually talk about that for a second. As you're speaking, a lot of times, I'm literally almost like meditating in that I'm trying to feel, sounds so ridiculous, but it actually helps a lot. Feel like, when you're talking, I'm trying to feel that hit off my eardrum. So I'm paying attention to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Instead of sitting here and going, oh, that's great. But anyway, I want to talk about my third topic right now. It's like, no, let's just naturally flow the conversation more. Look at kids, right? They're very bad at that. All human beings start off very bad at that. People are like, oh, some people are better natural listeners. That's BS. They've worked at it. So I'm trying to work at it.
It's so funny. It's so funny that you're showcasing this weakness while you're describing it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing. But
that's why it's a true weakness.
Honestly, I'm the same way. But the thing here that prevents you from being exposed to the full extent of this weakness from my side is the fact that we're not talking my native language, right? So obviously,
interesting. That's right.
This takes some energy. This takes at least some sort of additional thought to express myself to the level I want to express myself. But hey, if we are talking in my native language, I'm pretty much the same way.
That's
you know,
a really
I
good
just
point.
Have this very long, ongoing, continuous train of thought that if I start expressing, I just can get on and on and on and on. So it's very funny. It's very funny that.
You know, and it's funny because, like, I never really thought about that. That's a really good point because you have to, you're almost probably thinking in your native language.
Not really.
No,
at this stage, I don't. But
well, that's pretty impressive then.
Yeah. It's very interesting because when it comes to certain topics, when it comes to certain discussions, it's easier for me to think in English. But in other topics that are more related to my native language, I kind of need to find this balance between the two languages.
Yeah.
But regardless, you know, something that I'm always trying to improve myself in is the fact that I'm very strict when it comes to my ability to express myself. And for example, in my native language, I'm very proud at, you know, I have very wide dictionary. I use a word of what. I'm finding different ways to express myself. And something that I very much want to improve is my ability to do that to the same level in English as well. But obviously, it's very difficult and it's questionable whether whether I would be able to do that.
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, it's an interesting process, I think. But in our case, I guess it's a good thing. Because otherwise we'll have like 3 or 4 hour long podcast every time.
Well, we're heading there right now. That's a very interesting point. And
yeah,
you know, I think the thing that I hate about myself like that the most is it comes off to other people as I'm being rude, but it's like, that's not, and then I'm not interested in what they're talking about, but it's not that. It's usually, I'm so interested in what they're talking about. Like when you brought up, you know, the girl thing or the social thing, any of that stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh. I love this topic. Yeah. I want to just start talking about it. Yeah. But it's like, and you know, there's another good point of this podcast. I think it's going to help me become a better listener because I have to stop talking when you're talking or it's going to be a shitty outcome, right? So, you know, listening, one of my big things, and I'm pretty sure that everybody in my life would tell you that. So, and I'm not afraid to admit that. It's how I am. We are who we are until we're willing to address it and change it. I've been trying to work on that for a very long time.
But I don't think it's a problem with you necessary because when you're talking, you are still providing lots of valuable information. Obviously, you are contributing to the quality of the conversation. While I know people who still can't stop speaking, but at the same time, it's just random rambling, right?
Yeah.
So, it's still, it's definitely a good thing. And, the funny thing, again, is that while you're talking, or I guess it's more accurate to say the worst thing is that while you're talking, I still get the same way as you've described. I get lots of points that I want to double down on, that I want to discuss further. I just have so many of them that I eventually just forget bringing up.
Yeah, I know.
It's I guess that's a good thing though, just because we constantly have things to discuss, valuable things to discuss as well.
Yeah, you know, but it's one of those things where it's like, even if I am bringing up, or even if, you know, if you're listening, like if you do this in your life too, even if you are bringing up valuable stuff, you know, when you cut somebody off when they're talking, that kind of means that you think what you're saying is more important than what they're saying. So I don't really think that I have a problem. I don't really do that a lot. It's more of the fact that what I meant is that, like, when I'm sitting here listening to what you're saying, I feel like I want to jump in and interject. Like, I'm not, it's not that I'm doing it. It's that I'm feeling like that. And so when you're feeling like that, can you really listen to what somebody's saying? It's pretty hard. So, you know, active listening and things like that, those are all great things. And you know, again, like I see, like you want to make a point right now and I keep talking, but no, I'm serious. Like it's, that's why these things are so important and to be aware of that. And ever since I said it, I have trouble listening. As you were talking, I was trying to pay attention more. So it's just about being aware of this stuff.
Yeah. But do you know what? It's very interesting though. And I think this is something that you haven't acknowledged yet, probably because there's a whole different dynamic when we're talking between ourselves when it comes to the podcast and when it comes to us discussing band-related stuff.
Yeah.
Where I'm acting not as your co-host, but as your manager.
Yeah.
Because when this is happening, it's very funny, but you're actually listening way more, I'd say. You know?
Now or then? Oh, when interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's very interesting because when we're talking as a manager and as a client, I think I'm talking probably way more. I'm not necessarily sure, but I sense some difference in terms of the dynamics.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
Because if you remember, when we were discussing the previously mentioned legal issues that we've experienced recently, I was the one that couldn't stop talking, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's fine. Like that I think that, again, it's because you have valuable things to say, and you did in the case of that too. So it's like,
yeah.
And again, like, I'm very good at recognizing that and being like, hey, he's got this right now. Let me just listen to what he's saying. Even as I'm, and what I'm trying to do, and again, another skill I'm hoping to gain through this podcast is mental noting things as you're talking and remembering them to come back to them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that I think anybody deals with. Like, you know, Joe Rogan, who's obviously the biggest podcaster in the world, when he first started, he was not nearly as good at doing that as he is now. He's very good. I mean, there'd be like sometimes like 10-minute segments where you won't hear a word from him. And I'm like, I forget he's sitting there. I'm like, my God, that's a skill. Like, because he's such a smart dude, you know that he's got a million things running through his head.
Yeah.
But he'll shut up and let the guest talk. And it's really important. It's really important to do that. Again, like, imagine during your TED Talk, if somebody just cut you off and asked you a question. Like, how rude is that? But, like, it's only because of the social dynamic there. But even still in normal conversation with people, it's still, I think, it's bad to cut somebody off unless they're really just like, what are you talking? Like, no, just rambling. And again, like, I think a lot of my extended family does that a lot. They just talk about nothing. And it's like,
Jesus, yes.
You know, you asked me a question, I'm trying to answer it, and now somehow we're talking about what you ate for breakfast. It's like, how did we get there? Like, I don't do that. But I will definitely interject and cut people off sometimes because I think I have something valuable to say.
I mean, but it's definitely a skill, you know. Yes. And I've always had problems with expressing myself way more than needed in terms of length, in terms of duration or whatever. I've always been noted about, for example, the level of sentences I use, even in my book as well. That's always has been a problem. But something that really helped me with that, just to improve my qualities in terms of communicating with people, is interviewing other bands and interviewing artists.
Yeah.
Because when I started doing that, I realized that, you know, I have to, how can I phrase this exactly? For the sake of the quality of the conversation, I need to minimize my role in it, you know?
Right, yeah.
So, in terms of, I understood that the most important thing is to have an entertaining, valuable conversation. And in order to do that, sometimes you have to minimize your role in it and to pretty much push your ego back, you know? Because as a, when I was younger, I was very opinionated. I wanted to, you know, showcase my points all the time. Yeah. And I wanted to be the main person in the conversation, which kind of refers to one of the weaknesses I've discussed before, you know? I wanted to be the main in it. But this is something that you can find in every aspect of life, you know, whether we're talking about music or sport or whatever. Especially in team sports, you always get this point that it's not an individual sport. It's important to do what is to the benefit of the team in general or whatever. So, yeah, eventually you find the game-changing thing that really shows you things in perspective.
Yeah, and, you know, when you listen to other people, like, I think a lot of times the reason that we as human beings want to talk so much is because we think we have something valuable to say.
Yeah.
But it only matters if it doesn't fall on deaf ears, right? So, like, if you're not listening to the other person, then they're not going to care what you're saying. They're going to be like, well, this guy's not listening to me. This girl's not listening to me at all. Yeah. Like, they don't value me. I don't give a shit what you're saying. So, you know, if you just, again, become aware of that and understand that and think about yourself. You know, all this stuff is always like, think about yourself. When you're talking to somebody and they won't shut up about their life and they don't ask you about yours, how do you feel about that? You don't feel very good, right? You feel like you're not valued. So, again, like, imagine doing that to somebody else. You don't want to do that because you know how that feels. So, you know, it's always a work in process. And I realize we're coming up on a, we're almost at an hour and a half here, which is pretty impressive. Jesus. But I could go on about this all day, but I feel like at some point we want to give some conclusion to this. So I'm going to ask you, do you have any other points you want to make on anything we talked about?
Well, that's a very tricky question because I definitely do have quite a lot of points. But again, I think we have to practice what we've preached so far.
Yes.
And we kind of need to stop and not, you know, unnecessarily continue this for too long. But it's a tricky thing. I do have lots of things to say, but I guess we'll have to explore this topic.
If you could give people one thing to take away from this entire podcast about weaknesses, what would you say to them?
Your weaknesses are your strengths, and your strengths can often be your weaknesses as well. So the most important thing about yourself is that you have to assess your qualities and characteristics in a very objective way and not perceive them in a black and white manner, but
yes,
just to perceive them as your specific qualities that you can either work more on or capitalize on them further.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with that anymore. I'm looking this up right now because I have a note in my phone on Evernote of, it's called Things I Need to Remember. It's a long list mm-hmm. from things I read and stuff like that, but I put stuff in here when I find, and there's a very good quote in here, and I need to find
I'm listening.
It in 2 seconds. So essentially, have you ever read The Art of War? Do you know what that is?
Yes, Sun Tzu.
Okay, so, you know, Sun Tzu obviously wrote that. And there's a really good quote in here about, like, knowing your enemy and knowing yourself. Let me find it.
Yes. I know it, which part you're referring.
Yeah, I don't want to butcher it. If I can't find it here in 2 seconds, I'm going to have to. Okay, I found it. Okay. If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear for the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you neither know the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. Mm-hmm. Sun Tzu wrote that book, I believe, well before, thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
And while the reason that book is so popular now, because it was written for, you know, generals and things like that,
mm-hmm.
is because it is directly applicable to life. So, right, like, if I understand myself and my competitors or my enemies and things like that, I'm going to win every time.
Yes.
If I do not understand myself and I do not understand my competitors and people I'm competing against, I'm going to lose every time. So, think about it like this. Your pride, this is one thing I'd leave people with that are listening mm-hmm. to this, if you've made it this fucking far, your pride is way, way less important than your acknowledgement of your shortcomings, because by acknowledging them, you understand them and you can navigate around them. And that's the same thing with your strengths. And as Haristo said, just because you have a strength does not mean it'll always be a strength. It could be mm-hmm. a weakness in many scenarios. Same thing with a weakness. So that's what I would leave you guys with, is to understand yourself to the best of your ability. I'm always going to talk about that. And with that being said, why don't you send them off for us, though?
Hey, guys, we very much appreciate if you actually listen to the whole thing. We would be actually very impressed if you did. So thank you for your time. Thank you for spending your time with us. We're so thankful and grateful for every piece of attention we get. And hopefully you'd be interested enough in hearing our other episodes and sticking around for our next ones as well, because we can promise there will be lots more conversations of this sort that will probably longer as well. So
yeah,
I guess you have to see.
Sounds good to me, man. All right, guys, we will see you next time on the Boldcast. We hope you have a great night or day, whatever you're entering into right now. So we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Boldcast. You can support the show by leaving a review on whatever platform you listen on. Make sure to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us on both at the Boldcast.